So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Ed Springer Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, where you can catch up on all the latest and everything we've got going. Man, I hope you all had a great, great Christmas. I don't really remember much about it. Not that I'm a drunk, folks, but I might as well have been for the last week. I don't know how many of you guys have gotten this flu or anything. I'm not sure where it came from. But, man, I tell you what, Wednesday morning, Christmas morning, it hit me. And today is the first day I've actually been able to move. I am still completely drained, have zero energy, can hardly eat, barely breathing. And Ed Martin, you're back there laughing. I know, man. I know you went through your own thing. How are you, sir?
Well, you know, you got the flu now. Of course, I got hit with that norovirus going around. I mean, I wasn't diagnosed because it was very much like a Mack truck full
right.
of gravel, leaking oil and antifreeze, and running over me at 70 miles an hour. Because I was similar to you. It didn't linger, but good Lord. Friday I got home from work, and I just kind of sensed something was wrong. And about 3 hours, I laid down and woke up about 3 hours later. And the only way to describe what happened is I was evacuated. I mean, it was unbelievable. The contents of my stomach and everything were gone in like 3 minutes. It was, And I just proceeded, similar to you, I proceeded to just vegetate for about 12 hours after that, and then started recovering. But I'm telling you what, that, wow.
Well, I know,
A doctor friend of mine did make a joke, and it actually turned out to be very, very true. He said, the norovirus is good for one thing. He said, you know, especially if you get it around the holidays, he says it'll give you a hell of a head start on losing that weight that you're going to say you're going to lose for New Year. And I'll be damned if I didn't go to work today. Got on the freight scale as, you know, anybody that works in a warehouse, everybody gets on the freight scale, you know. Guys actually do check their weight, but they do it in a manly way. And I'll be damned if I didn't lose 6 pounds.
And I'll tell you what, going into Christmas, I mean, I've actually been really good since Thanksgiving. I don't really overeat or anything anymore. And, I've really been conscious of my weight and things like that. And I've been smoking quite a bit more than I normally do. So, you know, going into Christmas, kind of gearing up for New Year's, you know, you're making all these resolutions, kind of looking at what you want to do. And I tell you, I was thinking, man, I'm really going to have to work a little bit on weight, and I've got to cut back on smoking. I'm one of those weird people. I actually do enjoy a cigarette. And I know people say, you're just addicted. No, I actually enjoy a cigarette. I smoke a cigarette. It kind of calms me down. It keeps the anxiety level and the stress level down. You know, I'm one of those people. So it really doesn't bother me. But I have been over smoking. So A week with no cigarettes and no food, man, I may have accomplished both goals the hard way. Could I tell you, we was at 103 plus for 3 days, and, you know, bless my wife's heart. I tell you, she, my wife doesn't play nurse very often, and she was put in a hell of a situation this last week, nursing me, trying to get me straightened out. It's incredible. So all you guys who have been going through this, let me just tell you, my sympathies. I have never had anything hit me with a fever that high for 3 days and lasting 5 days before I even started coming back around to things. So I'm a week behind the eight ball. What's been going on in the world, man?
Oh, well, you know, and thank God for social media, because if it wasn't for that, you and I would have both been, you know, as far as the news, we'd both be coming out of the fog today and going, oh, UK beat UofL. Okay, and what else happened? You know, but, lots of stuff has happened. I know you've seen some of it, but, yeah, it's right about the time I got floored and you were in the midst of being floored. Of course, we find out that the Yum Center, and I know that's one that you love to go there.
Well, we're definitely...
The Yum Center bonds are in danger of being downgraded, which falls squarely into the, you know, as I tell people, hey, wait, let me put on my surprise face. What? Really? No.
You know, it's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting because they're not in danger of being downgraded. They actually have been downgraded more than once since they started. Now they're getting ready to be downgraded again to a double B from a triple B minus. Here's the thing, and Ed, I've been trying to get caught up since last night, actually. Trying to get caught up, because I didn't realize this had kicked back into gear while I was sick. And I went to Facebook. It's one of the first places I go, because you always keep everything up to date on your page. You know? So that's when I found out you'd been sick for a day, too. But I went to Facebook, and I started seeing the story of WFPL and then the biz journals and all the other things. Is this not something that you and I have spent... I mean, years talking about, I mean, in 2006, I openly campaigned against this state while running for Metro Mayor, because this was going to be exactly what it has turned into. It turned into a nightmare fiasco, and it was all by design to try to make a couple of people in this town get their way for an NBA arena or an NBA team. Am I wrong with that?
No, I mean, we were on it way back when. I mean, we looked at every angle, you know, from the fact that it was built on an old transmission station, payback time for Eon or LG&E, whatever, you know, got to put a cap over that old transmission station. Never know what's under the ground there. We especially when David Jones and John Snyder came up with their alternate location, saying, hey, this ain't, you know, whatever, $200 million less to build it here, and it would expand, you know, it would revitalize a part of town that could have stood as a little more than the waterfront. We've been on it. We've mocked the NBA thing because, you know, when the agreements were signed, we kind of looked at it and said, whoa, you know. And we mocked the NBA thing because a lot of the talk where, you know, oh, this is going to bring an NBA. It's like, wait, if you guys got hammered this bad on the simple construction of a building, mm-hmm. when the NBA sends their hired gun lawyers in, they're going to make this, you know, they're going to rip you for more money. They're going to get more guaranteed than the arena ever thought about getting, than the NBA ever thought about getting. So, yeah, we've been on it from day one, and I remember you were just adamant about a different location for all sorts of reasons.
Well, that was it.
Not the least being cost.
Well, that was exactly it, because the biggest thing at the time, I mean, you had the PCBs and all the other stuff at the old LG&E site down there. They had actually allowed, I think it was $900,000 or something for the initial cleanup. But the long and short of it, you had two different reports here. John Snyder, Papa John Snyder, and Humana's David Jones, did a comparison study, because Mayor Jerry Abramson, or former Mayor Abramson, this is the only spot he wanted it at. He wanted it there for a reason. It was a corporate bailout for LG&E is all it was. He had hoped that we would be able to buy LG&E, so he went in there trying to act the big shot and got kicked right in his butt on it. But there was two competing reports. You had the lead report, and you had the Bonham Group report, which is the one that David James and John Snyder had commissioned themselves and paid for out of their own pocket. And from what I understand, by the way, folks, there's a little bit of chopping going on right now. I apologize. I'm not sure why. Who knows? I haven't had time to mess with the sound a lot today yet. But anyway, so we've got this going on. And this was all by design because they thought they were going to buy LG&E, and we couldn't do it. We weren't allowed to buy LG&E. So we did this big old corporate bailout only to satisfy a few people. You had J. Bruce Miller, even Dan Johnson, Councilman Dan Johnson, who still believes an NBA team is the greatest thing next to Jesus Christ himself, if you will, was even angry and came on air and challenged us. But, of course, he had no substance and no facts either. So, you know, but this is something we've known was going on since early stages. When I ran for mayor in 2006, immediately in 2005 when I announced my candidacy, I announced against the NBA arena because I wanted a referendum. I wanted the people to decide it. They took that option out. So what I did is I compared the two plans side by side. And David Jones and John Snyder had created an alternate plan at the old water company site, which was going to be closer to 4th Street Live, which is where we want everybody to go to, right? We want to go downtown and spend all our money there. You had more parking available. You had it was so much better at a less expensive cost. It was unbelievable, and these clowns didn't do it. And you know, and it was all by design because you know the old saying is once you build it, they will come, right, Ed? Well, they built it. Nobody's coming. Now they're going to have to go after the NBA team that we're going to subsidize.
They're not even going to get the NBA team because again, U of L is. They control most of the dates, and an NBA team is simply – an NBA owner is simply not going to take second seat to a college team. It's just the way things are. And you know, and that being the case, and U of L is not going to give up the sweetest deal in college basketball, at least
right.
Not without an enormous price. So you know, you're either going to have to totally cave into an NBA owner to get them to place, you know, it's going to have to be unbelievably sweetened up with all sorts of guarantees and cash to get them to actually put that ego aside and play second fiddle to an athletic director at a university. Or you're going to, if you want to get U of L to step out of the way, the payoff is going to be astronomical. So
well, see, that's
not
going
to happen. And, of course, you got, you know, the thing that kills me about it is Dan Johnson. I hope he's listening.
He is.
You know,
I guarantee he is.
He befriended me because I didn't buy into his pixie dust, you know, Tinkerbell, you got to believe, you know. And whoop, there goes another, you know, whatever, rubber tree. It's just all about got to have high hopes, you know. You just got to, Tony Robbins your way right into this thing. No
well,
numbers,
know,
no anything. And here's a guy now who's been a councilman who you would think would understand contract law, being a career politician in government. And
right,
the guy
right.
saying, well, we need a new contract with U of L.
Well, it's fascinating. Well, that's exactly what they're
really?
Doing.
It's like, okay, we do, but, you know, what is this? Are we fifth graders? Is somebody calling a do-over in a Red Rover game or something? No, you're right. You can get a new contract with U of L. Get your checkbook out. That's
well,
pretty much how it works in the real world, Dan.
And I think that that's a big situation because how many times have you seen U of L come under the gun by city leadership? I mean, you know, U of L is basically under attack right now over the agreement that they made with the arena. But, you know, everybody, the Louisville Arena Authority had to have U of L to put this thing together. And they got exactly what they wanted. And, you know, they're not happy with the terms of the deal because they found out you can't pay for the arena and you're not going to do it with an NBA team. I tell you how smart Councilman Johnson is. You know, I had a conversation with him, and I actually posted a link to this story. The story is about 2 years old. You can go to edsprinkster.com and look up NBA Arena in the search box, and you'll find it. But, you know, a couple of years ago, I did a follow-up story on this, and Dan Johnson and I had been in a discussion on Facebook, in the instant messaging on Facebook, and it was really hilarious because Dan was sitting here saying, you know, we needed an NBA team. We can afford it because everywhere that there's a professional team in America, they're the most liked thing in a city. So I responded and told Dan, you know, in a private message, you know, the issue isn't whether they're liked. The issue is whether they are affordable. I like lots of things, but that doesn't mean that I can pay for them. Well, you can imagine when it went from there. Dan's immediate reaction was, well, you can watch them on TV and buy a Big Mac at McDonald's, and you're supporting them because McDonald's is advertising on the game, and that's your way of helping. You know, and then he tried to, this is his actual thought process. I'm not kidding you. This was hilarious to me. So I'm looking at all of this, and I'm just thinking to myself, wow, he believes this, you know? So I look at this, and I'm continuing the conversation, and I tried to inform him. I said, Dan, look, 40% of all NBA teams lose money in better markets than Louisville, you know, and he didn't buy that. He said, well, I guarantee you this market is going to be the 10th in the NBA, and we're going to be one of the 60%. We've got all of this money to come in, blah, blah, blah. There was no substance anywhere. And it, then he
accused
me.
And I think it's important, like you said, when they started all this arena talk, they weren't going just – they couldn't just build an arena and without U of L, because Pitino even said it. He's like, hey, you know, no problem. We'll stay at Freedom Hall, and we'll like it. You know, we'll renovate it a little more. And so this arena wasn't getting built without U of L because they're – you know, that as they say, that's a fart and a prayer right there, because what are we going to do, build an arena and then basically, you know, put a vacancy sign on it like a cheap hotel and hope an NBA team comes? No, we needed a tenant, and we got a, you know, you know, it's a good tenant. They packed the place. You just do it at discount rates, apparently. But the fact is, you're right, they couldn't have built the arena without U of L saying, yeah, we'll be a prime tenant. And then, of course, now that they get it, and U of L, and, you know, I say hats off to Pitino and Tom Jurich. They negotiated, you know, when they sit down at a table, they sit down with U of L's interest in heart. That's what they're there to do. They did a fantastic job.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Job.
Let's call
Can't
a spade
blame them.
A spade.
They did their job. They schooled all the, you know, all the 20-plus, you know, the 2,000-plus council critters, mayor, everybody else, everybody that was involved, Tom Jurich schooled them.
Well, you got Jim Holtz and all these business leaders that know everything there is to know about business. They didn't give into that. They didn't give into that because they wanted to. I mean, they gave into that because they thought it was a good deal. Remember, originally, when all this crap was going on, we were really seriously looking for an NBA team, but nobody would look at Louisville without an arena. You remember the Charlotte Hornets. You know, the Charlotte Hornets were the big thing at one time here, and that was one of the people we were trying to go after. So they were trying to get this arena built so they could give it to Charlotte. But when that deal fell through because Charlotte went to New Orleans, they had no choice but to deal with Louisville because they'd already put their foot in their mouth. And that's exactly what happened. And, of course, you know, in our good friend Paul Holliger over stop and said, you know, refers to Johnson as Spaceman Dan. You're absolutely right. But he's not alone, Paul. He's really not. But this is the thing, because we've got all of this. You know, the Hornets basically all but folded back in 2011. They've lost money every year they were there. I mean, the NBA league itself bought the Charlotte Hornets because the owners couldn't sustain it. 17 of 30 teams lost money in 2010. And here was the thing. This was really interesting to me. And this is why I didn't want Charlotte, and this is why we don't need the NBA here. Because the reason that the Hornets moved from Charlotte in the first place was because the Charlotte citizens were given a referendum to build a new arena, and they said no. But the owners of the Hornets said they had to relocate to avoid millions of dollars in annual losses because of drastically declining attendance. So they weren't putting out quality product, and they were blaming the arena for the reason the quality product wasn't there. A basketball court is the same size as any building you go into. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's something else that I think is important. That, you know, that's one of the things I like about being, you know, a Louisville fan, is the fans don't support a crappy product. It doesn't matter if it's U of L basketball, U of L football, anything. The fans don't support it. so they demand a quality product. So, yeah, if you brought in, and let's face it, if you're going to bring in a team from the NBA, you're not bringing the Celtics, you're not bringing the Spurs, you're not bringing the Lakers, because they're good teams. They're making money. They're delivering a product. You're not getting them. You're going to get the bottom of the barrel, the guys who, well, you know, hate to say it about them. I'm sure they're putting in the effort, but then you're going to get the guys that suck. And that's why their attendance is down, because they're just not very good. And you're basically going to say to the little public, here, put up some serious money. I'll just say.
It's the truth. You know, you can't do anything if you can't put a product out there. I mean, that's the bottom line.
But yeah, the Louisville people are not just going to say, woohoo, NBA team, let's go. You know, yeah, they're going to show up when they want to see Kevin Garnett or somebody come to town, or LeBron James comes in and beats you like a dog. But round and round, they're not going to show up over and over and over to do it. And it was just a farce from the beginning. And like I said, doing some research on NBA teams, a lot of times these teams are able to, their lawyers, they're good. The Mark Cubans of the world are not idiots. They send their boys in, and they get guarantees from the city, revenue guarantees. So it's not like they come in and says, okay, well, thanks for the arena, it's good. No, they get guarantees on attendance, and it's, you know, tax breaks if they don't make certain revenue things. So, you know, they can turn into net losers for cities really, really quick.
Well, that's very true. When you look at the cost of all this, I mean, my God, I mean, let's look at the facts here. You know, we have a premier college program right here in Louisville, Kentucky, and the Louisville Cardinals. We've got defending NCAA champs. I mean, look at everything they did just in the last 2 years. Every championship, runner-up, everything we've done. We're getting NCAA regional games and everything else scheduled here. We've never had in our history before. We still can't make it. You know, so you've got college premier program right here with the university. But even the university can't fill up Papa John's or the KFC Yum Center every single game at ticket price. They can't afford it. We cannot afford that kind of money here in a college town, you know, and those tickets are much less than an NFL team or an NBA team would be. So, you know, you've got to look at this. When you take a family of four and it's going to cost you $300 on average to attend one single game, where's the season ticket holders going to be able to afford that? Where are they going to get the 20 and 30,000 season ticket holders to pay for all of this? You're not going to happen that way.
Yeah, and not to show up for 20 games, you're going to show up for 50 games.
Yeah, and that just isn't going to happen. I mean, you know, if you go to Cardinals right now, if you go to the basketball games, you know, unless it's a major draw, you know, you're not going to see that place filled up. You're lucky to have 10 or 11,000, you know, which is half a capacity. So it doesn't make much sense. Dan Johnson, J. Bruce Miller have made one hell of a living playing this game. Our Metro Council and our tax dollars have paid J. Bruce Miller over and over, tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to push this down our throat. It's just not realistic, not going to happen. But I find it so funny that once again, here we are, the bonds are being downgraded again because nobody wanted to listen to real leadership years ago.
Nope.
If you didn't want to listen to Ed Springsteen as a mayoral candidate, fine. But when you take somebody like John Schnatter, who, whether you like him, love him, or hate him, John Schnatter built an empire with Papa John's from scratch in the back of a bar making a pizza, and you take a guy like David Jones who built Humana, these are two of the best that Louisville has to offer, and you're going to throw them out with a dishwater and allow something like this to happen in the first place is just phenomenal to me. It really is.
And the thing is, as bad as it is, downgraded to junk, they're about to get worse, because at this point, when you get downgraded to junk, you really, in most cases, the bonds cannot be owned by institutional investors like pension funds. They can't be owned by banks for, you know, safe returns as collateral. It's junk. It's high-risk stuff. So the only guys that are going to be interested in it are speculators, people who are looking for a high return on a moderate risk or high risk, you know, endeavor. So
let's look at this.
Thought about it, whether it was $900 million was going to be the total financing cost. No.
Right.
When these bonds got to come back around, they're going to be more expensive, considerably more expensive, and your $900 million price tag for your $482 million arena, no financing at all, is probably going to rip right past a billion. So it's sort of a, it's very good scary as it becomes a positive feedback loop. The fact that the bonds have been downgraded makes it more expensive. It's, you know, to maintain debt. Now that the debt's more expensive, the bonds may get downgraded again because, you know, they've already tapped into their maintenance fund for it, you know, to cover some of their financing and stuff. They're not getting the shows. They're not getting the revenue that they'd hoped for. The taxing district downtown is not paying off.
Right.
Nothing's paying off. So it's
right.
going to get more and more expensive to where, you know, Now they have to pay more for their financing, which is going to drive their cost up and their net revenues down or their losses up, whichever way. And next time around, the bonds will get downgraded again.
Well, from what I understand, they've been robbing the maintenance funds and everything else. So here you've got a new building. These maintenance funds should be sitting here drawing interest. And when you have to do maintenance, and they've already had to do plenty of maintenance in this at this arena, that has such a very short life to date, and you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. And the real loser here, I mean, you know, let's look at the state fair board. You know, if you remember, a lot of this was supposed to be, it was supposed to be run by the state fair board. You had Harold Workman. Here's a guy who paid the ultimate price. Harold Workman over the state fair board. He called him on all of this BS. He didn't stand for all of this BS. And they blamed him for every bit of the problem, so they got rid of Workman and hired this place out of California who could bring all these events in here and turn this around, and we still got downgraded again. What does that tell us?
Well, it tells us Workman was right.
You betcha.
You know, like I said, it's you got a bunch of politicians, you know, and there's so many angles to this downgrade. Like, it's going to be brutally expensive if they don't find a way to turn it around. But beyond that, you know, you got, I remember when a lot of this started, there was some stories coming out about a lot of politicians getting complimentary tickets to things going on there. And I remember Darrell Owens was one of them, and he was asked, you know, nobody would say anything. So, you know, I would like to throw that one out there on your behalf, Ed. It's like, hey, if anybody knows, you know, which politicians, local politicians, especially ones that have supported this arena, you know, with a rubber stamp, which ones of them are, has somebody seen there frequently, you know, with some
right.
primo seats or box seats at U of L games or concerts? I'd love to know, you know, who's doing that. Because we know it's happening. It's just done on the fly, you know. Envelope.
I agree with you. I wish somebody would really come forward and start the insiders. I mean, I get the inside information all the time from people that are connected, but they won't put their name on it. They're scared to go, you know, I mean, I'm not going to outsource this. And, you know, they don't want to go public because it's going to cost them everything. And you know, Paul is stopping, is actually pointing something out in the chat room, and he's right to a degree. He says Harold Workman is no hero. He went along with the fair board when they were discussing this in the concept stage. He only became concerned when he thought his nuts were in a vice. Well, I'll be honest with you, Paul. I think you're probably right. I know Workman helped along all of this in the concept phase, but once it became a reality that this thing was screwed, once he knew he was being set up to be the fall guy, he came out. You know, sometimes that's what it takes. I hate that too, but he did come out, right? So we got to give some credit, don't we? I don't know, you know, but he did pay the price for something that largely he didn't control. Was he a voice? Yes. But he wasn't a decision maker. That's the thing for me. So I hope somebody would come forward, and you can always write to us at myviewmatters@AOL.com, or you can write to LouisvillePolitics@gmail.com, or heck, give us a call, 502-742-519.
Or hell, in this era of cell phone pictures, if you just see somebody you recognize, you know, local politico, hey, hanging in some primo seats at the game, just snap a picture. You see, it's like, hey, okay, so you're courtside or you're in the box. Did you pay for those, or, you know, are you getting greased, my friend?
Snap it. We want it. You betcha. You betcha. All right, we have got to take a quick break.
You know, I did want to hop on one last thing, because doing our research on it, we kind of poked around a little bit and come to realize that when all this started, and this is where it gets a little embarrassing as a Republican now, when all this started, it was back in, 2006 and whatnot, the Kentucky State Senate, which is, controlled by Republicans, they pretty much signed off on it. There's a $75 million bond issue, which you kind of wonder about that now, too. But they did a $75 million bond issue on that. And the disturbing thing to me is it was passed unanimously.
Yes, it was. And one of my favorite people, and I say that very tongue-in-cheek, Miss Julie Denton, who now wants to come to Louisville and pad her retirement, she voted to fund it, too. So, yeah, you're right about that.
There's some of my dilemma, So she signed off on $75 million to build this thing. Couldn't have been done without them. Now the one to seat on the Metro Council, maybe we should find out where she stands on that now. Are we having some honest second thoughts, or are we wanting to glass over that again? I don't know.
I don't think anybody knows where she or anybody else stands on anything anymore. And I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I want to talk a little bit about these conservatives
Senate. I have to throw it in on the front end, because I was reading some articles about it, and you're not going to get this very often on this show, but you know who threw some doubt on that as far as the transparency and the fact that, the way things were put together on the arena, that there wouldn't be transparency, and said, there's a lot of room for backdoor deals and stuff, and that may not be cool.
Oh, you betcha. You betcha.
Of all people, Larry Clark.
and there's something else.
If that right there doesn't ring bells when Larry Clark stands up and says, I'm not too sure about this. Looks like the way this thing is structured, it's prime for some backdoor deals and, the taxpayers getting screwed. When Larry Clark says that, the alarm bells should be ringing.
When Larry Clark's the voice of reason, you bet your butt they should be ringing. Let's take a quick break. We come back. There's a lot of different things. There's a lot of incidents like this. I kind of want to get into, because this whole JCTC Tech Center we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, that's back on the radar, too. And our great Senate colleagues on the conservative side have some explaining to do on this as well. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. You're listening to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the NVM Radio Network. For you guys that want to call in, 858-683-1326, 502-805-0334. For you guys who are in the listening queue, don't forget the number 1 on your dial pad, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Appreciate you guys hanging with us. I know I'm sounding way down tonight, and I apologize. Hopefully we'll get this mess straightened out by tomorrow. I tell you what, I feel like I'm about all in. You know, we're going into break, and we're talking about all this crap with the NBA arena and wasted money and all the other things. You know, you mentioned the Senate Republicans, the Senate conservatives here in the state. And Julie Denton in particular came to mind when you talked about the $75 million for the NBA arena that she agreed to, not to mention the passport scandals and everything else that she's been involved in. And now she wants to come back to Louisville on the council to make her paycheck bigger in retirement. You know, but there's another story out. Apparently the CJ's Martha Elson and a few other people around town are trying to catch up on this workplace training thing that, we had outed a couple of weeks ago thanks to a lawsuit by Jay Morgan against Greg Fisher and Kevin Cosby. We're going to come out with part two of the inside deal on this. I'll have it out Monday, I hope. I planned on having it out today, but I lost a week with the illness, so hopefully we'll get it out Monday. But the reason this is a story is today, I actually saw another story, Martha Elson over at the CJ. This actually came out a couple of days ago, apparently, but I just saw it. We're talking about JCTC and this whole thing about the $47.7 million deal now that's slated to be built solely for JCTC. If you remember, last week we reported that they lost the chance at any federal funds because of the way Greg Fisher handled this whole deal with Jay Morgan. The feds red flagged Louisville and said no money. So now instead of getting $25 million in federal grants to build this program in Athens, Kentucky, as a joint venture with JCTC and Simmons College, Kevin Cosby and everybody signed off to kill the deal. Now you've got $50 million in state money that's going to go straight to JCTC, and now they're going to try to build this thing three blocks from Lynn Fisher's office so that, you know, the mayor's sister doesn't have to go very far. And, of course, you know, as a CEO of Catalyst Learning, you can bet you're going to get paid on that end as well. So I just thought it was interesting. There's nothing been out there that's been approved yet. But the reason this story is interesting to me today and the reason it stood out is because of one man. Since we brought up the Senate conservatives in the state Senator Dan Syme, you know, and I've been a fan of Dan's for off and on for quite some time. I don't always approve of everything Dan has done, and he knows that. But I don't approve of this either, because Dan Syme is now saying that this $47.7 million is going to be a budget priority for him to aid JCTC in building this thing at a time we can't afford it. Somebody want to explain that to me?
Well, you kind of got me, because Dan's always prided himself on being a fiscal conservative. And, you know, the state is broke, but I guess a lot of people in Frankfurt have convinced themselves that the pension is fixed, so, you know, right. Party's back on it. But, the thing that gets me is, and it doesn't surprise me that Dan Syme would support, you know, a good mechanic, technical job training kind of facility. But here's a guy that I've always, you know, ever since I've gotten familiar with you and become familiar with Dan, here's a guy that has, you know, almost without fail, been a champion of the South End, South Louisville.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Always, the Dixie Highway Corridor. I mean, here's a guy, I love him out there, you know, and it just, I as I've said before, you know, I appreciate it. I'm an East End boy. I'm out here. We don't seem to lack getting any more high-end office buildings or high-end shopping centers, and now we're going to get a high-end technical training center. Thanks, but, you know, gosh, the 14th poorest neighborhood in the United States, down there where Cosby and company were, that they sure could have used it. You know, the South End, Dixie Highway, that area, they could have used it out there, Riverport Way or whatever. You know, and it cracks me up that sometimes you get on out, you know, Dixie Highway, as we were talking off air, it's just like, wow, you know, you look at the money right. That gets poured into the East End, which doesn't need it. It's not based on need, there's economic opportunity, but, you know, the East End's doing okay, and the South End and Dixie Highway, gosh, government's nice enough to go through and synchronize their traffic lights on Wide, Wide Dixie Highway and call it a day.
There you go. I'm just kind of puzzled. I'm puzzled. I don't know what the trade-off is. And I tell you, you know, trade-off, buy-off, put whatever term you want there, because there's always a deal made somewhere. You know, and that's not offensive. It's just the truth. So I don't get why we would be involved in a mess like this, why Dan Syme, who I've always thought was a fiscal conservative, would knowingly let Greg Fisher and GLI sit here and support JCTC and Greg Fisher's sister, Lynn Fisher, at the expense of, like you said, the 14-4 zip code in the nation. It makes no sense. With everything going on with the lawsuit and stuff, why are we saying we've got $50 million to give, when just a few months ago, we didn't have $50 million to give. We were going to take $25 million in federal funds. Where does this come from when you've got all these shortages with, you know, let's talk about the pensions. You've got these thousands of new enrollees to Medicare, thanks to Steve Beshear and his illegal Kentucky neck. You've got Medicare and Medicaid new enrollees. That's going to be billions of dollars, or at least hundreds of millions of dollars, that we now have to make up. The state pays the majority of that.
Early on, the feds are going to cover it, but, yeah, that bill starts falling on us later on, for sure.
Well, he's quoted as saying that it's not a lot of money. It's just a small part of a $19 billion two-year state budget. But, unfortunately, that $19 billion two-year state budget is a consistent thing that has never gotten better, and we continue falling behind on our obligations in other areas. So to get involved in this is to aid a political foe. I don't buy it. There's something here that's not adding up. Not sure what it is yet, but we're going to look into it. But I wanted to point that out because I just saw that story. Like I said, apparently it came out Friday or Saturday. I'm not sure. I have to look at the date. But it's interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, and again, to me, it's just like I look at the potential. The 14, like we said, down, the 14th poorest zip code in the United States. or even the South End, which, you know, is vibrant, but, you know, it could use something like this. I mean, right now, it's between Fort Knox, which is a pretty technical place, and, you know, I don't get it. I'm kind of at a loss for words as to what, you know, if there's a deal being cut, I could see somebody saying, yeah, we'll get you the financing, but it's going in the south, you know, it's going somewhere off Dixie. It's going somewhere off the Greenbelt, something right. like that. You know, in more traditional working-class neighborhoods, it could probably use the ramp up or something and getting some high-end tech jobs and things like that. But, yeah, I don't get why so many people are just, again, I'm in the East End. I don't mind it. I'm out here. Build another nice building, you know, up the property values, up the employment opportunities and training opportunities. That's in my backyard. I'm surprisingly okay with that, but I do look at it as a member of the city and say, yeah, there are probably some places that could really benefit. You know, the return on the investment would be a lot bigger in some other areas that could really use the help.
Well, yeah, it makes no sense why we're going to commit $50 million in Kentucky dollars over a poor state when we have federal money available thanks to a couple of bad decisions by this mayor. And apparently with the help of Kevin Cosby, you know, it just makes no sense to me. So I'm going to have to watch this one pretty close. And rest assured, sometime in the next few days, I'll be right smack in the middle of it, finding out exactly what's going on, folks. And I'll pass that to you as soon as we get it. Another interesting story. Ed, man, I tell you, we talk about everything being as messed up as it is. You know, here's some great things here. And I choked when I read this one earlier. But here's another. You think the Courier-Journal is not on a mission to build and prop up any Democrat, anything that they can? Think again. Because here's another story. This is straight out of CJ. And the headline reads, John Yarmuth emerges as a rising Democratic star. I'm trying to understand how John Yarmuth, who's not in his first term as a representative, is now emerging as a rising star. You know, and this is according to the third-ranking Democrat in the House, South Carolina Representative James Clyburn, who goes on to say that this is where I started choking at, because Clyburn goes on to say that, you know, Yarmuth is one of the most sophisticated politicians that he's ever encountered. You know, and what's really interesting, too, is there was one quote here that I had to laugh at. I couldn't help but laugh at. But according to Tea Party Representative Trey Gowdy, who is a South Carolina Tea Party Republican, this guy also considers himself a close friend and golfing partner, John Yarmuth. Imagine that, right? A Tea Party guy liking John Yarmuth. He goes on to even go further than that. He says Yarmuth is not a rising star. Yarmuth is a risen star. And then he goes on, Gowdy continues, here's a Tea Party Republican going on and saying, I don't know why he picked this line of work because he's too good of a guy. John is just a person of honor and character. And then, of course, they want to sit there and argue that he's such an honorable guy of character because he's defending Barack Obama's lies with Obamacare. What am I missing here, man? Can anybody search?
We've both been in the thick of it. And the truth of the matter is politics, unfortunately, is more about image than anything. And I'll give Yarmuth that. I ran against him and got along with him pretty good. He is polished. And as much as anything, I've always given him props for the fact that he's never really run away from his votes. You know, he'll defend them, whether you think they're right or wrong. So, you know, I give him high marks on that. I tend not to agree with him on most things, but you know, I think the shame of it is, and it's no slight against Mr. Yarmuth. He's, like I say, he's a well-spoken individual. He is polished, which unfortunately, in today's politics, is kind of exceptional. When you listen to some people go, when you listen to them talk, when you wait, oh my gosh, when our president goes off teleprompter, you know, Yarmouth, he's good, he's polished. And the Democrats are wise to put him out there as a face sometimes. He doesn't get flustered very easy because I think in most cases he says what he believes and what he feels. So, I mean, I'm not going to say anything bad about him. I just tend not to agree with what he says. I am just going to offer that, you know, in an era where there's a lot of double speak, in an era when things that people are very scripted, very prompted, you know, running off teleprompters and screening questions and stuff, Don can handle himself pretty well off script and going freeform on an interview. So, to me, it's a shame that you can be called a risen star, particularly for that quality, because, hey, we wing it all the time on air.
To me,
a risen star is somebody that introduces, you know, innovates and introduces legislation and says, look, this will work, you know. It introduces legislation right. that works, which, granted, we don't see much out of Washington or Frankfurt, where people go, you know what? That's actually going to help. That's actually some pretty sharp stuff, you know. And that's some good cause and effect. You know, we don't see that out of Yarmouth, but we do see a polished politician, and I guess that's good enough to make you a risen star nowadays.
Well, I think when you describe somebody as being honorable and a person of character, then you're implying that they have some great integrity. For me, integrity simply is doing the right thing when nobody is watching. When John Yarmuth, don't get me wrong, I've always ideologically differentiated from John Yarmuth in most cases, and I fully admit that. But I lost a lot of respect when he came out publicly just a couple of months ago and said that he has known for the last 3 years or whatever it's been, 4 years, since Barack Obama has been out there lying to the American people, telling them that they were going to be able to keep their health care, their doctors and all of that, that he knew from the very beginning it was a lie, but chose to keep his mouth shut. And at the same time, he was sitting here, right here at home in Louisville, Kentucky, running for re-election, having town hall meetings, telling us the exact lie that Barack Obama was giving it, and admitting to knowing it was a lie. So he was selling the lie intentionally. That's not a man of honor. That's not a man of character. That's not a man of integrity. That's my problem. Yep. But the fact that the Courier has to go out there, and mainstream media all of a sudden is going out there and trying to prop him up, they're certainly scared about 2014 midterms somewhere, because this is too easy to counteract. So I just thought it was very, very interesting.
Yeah,
very,
and,
very
and, that, and that they specifically went after a Tea Party guy who was throwing a quote, you know. Like,
yeah,
you know,
well, suppose a Tea Party guy.
Yeah, it's like, you know, hey, since when in the hell did the Courier ever give a damn what anybody in the Tea Party said?
Sure, sure. But now they want to use the prop up John Yarmuth for South Carolina.
I mean, yeah, you want to talk integrity, let's talk, you know, lack of integrity, we'll talk the Courier Journal. I mean, they'll take any key quote they can from anybody out of context. They'll ignore Tea Party guys like David Adams, who's, you know, giving the governor fits. But by God, if a Tea Party guy stands up and uses, you know, calls their boy honorable or something like that, sure, doggy, he's going to get front page billing.
That's it. That's exactly it. So it's going to be interesting to see what the end game is, but I find it very fascinating that they feel like we've got to build a John Yarmuth up right now over something that really has absolutely no reason to be there.
Although you know, let's not cash in our chips just yet. You know, the Tea Party guy did say that they were golfing partners, so everything in context. They could have said, well, what kind of golfing partner is he, or buddy is he? And he said, well, he's honorable and he's honest, you know?
Yeah,
could have been
talking
about golf, and it could have been taken out of context. Wouldn't that be funny if we're just sitting here joking about that, and we come to find out he's like, no, I wasn't talking about politics, I was talking about golf.
Yeah, I wonder how many foot wedges John Yarmuth covered for Trey Gowdy. I don't know. It'd be interesting. All right, man, I tell you what, we're fast running out of time. We will get out of here on time tonight. Final thoughts, my friend.
Oh, final thoughts. You know, To me, it gets back to, we're talking about the arena, and it goes with the technical training center and everything else. It's people, you know, I'm cynical. I sometimes have people tell me I need to stay away from certain websites and stuff because they're cynical. But, you know, the fact is you look at a historic track record of what government has done and what they do, and I'm going to be the first to tell you, sometimes government does some stuff very, very right. But, you know, when you look at the deals, you got to be cynical. You got to look at things like the arena and say, yeah, prove it. You know, like the old Missouri license plate, the show me state. So they always used to say, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, really? Show me. You know, people don't do that. We take too much for granted. We actually believe those who we probably shouldn't believe. And I just think we'd be a lot better if everybody would be a bit more cynical. You know, not to be mean, but it's just like at work. We always play devil's advocate. Sometimes you take up something and you assume the role of cynic because things have to be vetted properly. And I think, you know, whether the paper's not going to do it, you know, they've always got some agenda to grind and something, and maybe they want the, you know, this, that, or the other. We need to question everything. We need to question our news sources. We need to question our politicians. We need to question everything that's going on and says, okay, you know, like you did as a candidate, like we did very shortly after we were both candidates, and talking about the arena in particular, we questioned everything. Yeah. And it's kind of fun. I always say sometimes it sucks every once in a while when you're vindicated frequently. And I said, well, it kind of sucks and it kind of cool too. But, you know, it's not that we're that much smarter than anybody else. It's just we look at pretty much everything and say, oh, really? Is that so? Prove it. And sometimes things get proven on us and we have to kind of nod and says, okay, you're right. Bingo. Well played. But it seems like more often than not we find ourselves going, yep, we doubted you then, we really doubt you now, yep, could have told you so if you'd listened. And I just think people, just be cynical for the fun of it. It is kind of fun.
Well, I tell you, you know, it is interesting how many times you get accused of being cynical. But, you know, I think human nature tells us that when it comes to those things that are going to affect our daily life that someone has control of, we should be cynical. When it comes to my family life, I'm not cynical. I'm not cynical when it comes to my wife, my kids, or what's going on in my family life. But I'm very cynical when it comes to how that life is affected by elected leaders, decisions that they make, taxes that I have to pay, all the other things that come that are outside of my control. You know, it's interesting because cynicism is really a double-edged sword. You know, remember, without questions, there can be no answers. So you have to question authority sometimes. You have to question what most people consider right or wrong or indifferent. Because if you don't, you're not going to get an answer that you can live with or understand. The reason I point out obvious things so many times, recently anyway, it's not because I feel like I should be Rush Limbaugh or somebody else and I'm smarter than the whole world, and I'm doing this great stuff with half my brain tied behind my back or whatever the heck he uses today. No, I'm not that smart. I'm an average guy who turned 50 years old today. I'm an average guy.
Happy birthday, Ed.
Oh, thank you. But it wasn't actually a plug, by the way, but I want people to know I've been around a day or two, okay? But I'm an average guy. And the thing is that if an average Joe like me, I'm not a Mensa member like Mr. Martin is. I'm an average guy. If an average Joe like me can figure these things out, why isn't anybody else? If we're electing these leaders that have all these degrees and all these papers and all this other stuff, you know, that tells us how smart are they really to keep continuing to make the same dumb decisions over and over and over, screwing the little guys like us and things that I can find out I'm on without them? See, that's the problem, folks. I'm not bragging because I want to brag. I want to be dumb again. Unfortunately, I can't be dumb again until these guys do their job right. I like to have my little quack corner of the world. Those days are gone forever. But if I can figure it out as dumb as I am, then you certainly can figure it out in America, because most of you guys are smarter than I'll ever be. That's it for tonight. Thanks so much. No show tomorrow night. Typically, I would do a New Year's Eve show. This year, I decided not to, primarily for health reasons. I need to get healthy. You know, and secondly, you know, go out and party. Forget this stuff for one night, because Wednesday night, we're going to be back. We're going to have the new year kicking off right with Dale the Truth, and we're going to go crazy on conspiracy theories this week. So enjoy one last night of freedom before you get stuck with that, all right? That's it for tonight. We will see you guys Wednesday. We'll probably put on a replay tomorrow night. So if you want to tune in, go ahead. There will be something there, I'm sure. But enjoy the night. We're going to be here live. Mr. Martin, with that in mind, I will see you next Monday.
Yes, sir. Not only enjoy the night, but do so safely and responsibly.
Yes, please. Don't drink and drive and use your cabs. That's what they're for. And we'll see you guys next week. Thank you, Ed. Folks, have a great
week.
We'll see you. Take care.
You too.
Right in front of one of those pizza.